Expedia and Visit Scotland invite you to come experience the beauty that awaits in Scotland. The sweep of wild coastlines, quiet lochs and untamed landscapes. Fresh cuisine that feels rooted in the land. Come experience the kind of stillness that stays with you long after you leave. Plan your Scottish escape today at expedia.com/visitscotland.
Ready to soundtrack your summer? With Red Bull Summer All Day Play, you choose a playlist that fits your summer vibe the best. Are you a festival fanatic, a deep end DJ, a road dog, or a trail mixer? Just add a song to your chosen playlist and put your summer on track. Red Bull Summer All Day Play. Red Bull gives you wings. Visit redbull.com/brightsummerahead to learn more. See you this summer.
Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Austin, Texas-based singer and songwriter Sarah Sharp. We dug into her upcoming 2026 album Deja Vu that is out on May 15, 2026, along with her journey into the music. She is a staple of the Austin music scene and the former leader of the critically acclaimed Jitterbug Vipers. This debut crosses over a multitude of genres, from jazz to folk to Americana, providing a wide cinematic canvas on which she traverses a haunting emotional journey. She's a three-time Austin Music Awards winner for Best Jazz. We cover her whole fascinating ride. Enjoy this interview. So I'm looking forward to getting into Deja Vu, getting into your world of music. So thank you so much for taking a minute out.
It's my pleasure.
So let's begin our journey with this. And I don't think we've talked about it a lot as kind of an overall populace, but 6 years ago, this pandemic was changing our lives, changing musicians especially. How did you get through that era, and how has it changed the way that you approach singing and songwriting and the way that you do business today?
Oh, wow. A lot of friends, including me, we had all this time on our hands, and somehow we weren't productive. I went through what my yoga teacher called quite a fallow state during COVID. I mean, we were in such survival mode. All the gigs were gone. All the work was gone. It was such uncertainty. Do you know the Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
We were just in the red and the orange constantly. So it wasn't a very creative time for me. So only a handful of my friends were like incredibly creative during that time. And what I found to be more common was that all I ever wanted was time to do this. And for some reason, I'm not making myself do it, or I'm not being very, very productive. And then it all kind of made more sense that there was just so much of that, like, survival. We've had a weekly show in Austin for a long time. It used to be on Tuesdays. Now it's on Thursdays. And so we kept the Tuesday show going. We did it, like, we learned how to stream and do shows from my house. And so we did it in the front yard, masked in the beginning. And it was a huge learning curve with...
Get business done with the new American Express Graphite Business Cash Unlimited card. With unlimited 2% cash back on all eligible purchases. Unlimited 5% cash back on flights and prepaid hotels booked through American Express Travel Online. And a flexible spending capacity that can grow with your business. You'll have the confidence to keep building. Apply today and earn a welcome offer of $1,500 cash back after you spend $50,000 in qualifying purchases on your new card within the first 6 months of card membership. Terms apply. Learn more at go.amex/graphite.
Like the technology, having it sound how we thought it was sounding while it was happening. Sometimes it was like, oh, great. It was like one channel of music coming through that entire podcast, but we got better and better at it. And it went through different stages depending on what was happening with the pandemic, whether we were masked and outside or outside and unmasked, and, you know, whether people were coming and pulling up chairs out in the yard and across the street and spaced out, and then too many people were coming, so we had to take it back inside and be masked. It was the one way we kept some music going during all of it.
That was such a strange time, because I remember I amped up my interviews more than I ever did before. This show's been going for 15 years, and I've always consistently interviewed, but I did so many during that time. And I remember thinking, we were all like, well, this is going to be 2, 3 weeks, maybe a month. And then it went longer. And then we all live streamed. And then it was like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And then the government started giving out monies and some clubs could stay open. It was like this eventual thing. But to me, I kept thinking, am I ever going to get back to what we're doing right now? Am I ever going to be able to talk to musicians about what they're doing, live shows, making music, all of that? It just seemed like this weird vacuum that we were all stuck in, and we had no idea if or how we were going to get out. I don't know in our collective history that we ever felt that level of helplessness. I mean, we had 9/11, we've had wars, we've had all of these different things that have happened, but every single one of us on the planet were just locked into an echo chamber of when is this going to be over with? It was weird.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it much lately.
Yeah, and it's probably good. And probably one of the reasons why is because there was such a level, I mean, it's like trauma. You just don't want to go back to it. You want to keep moving forward. And, America right now is a very strange place. I think about what we went through then and compare it to now, and I'm like, yeah, we're out and about. We're not having to do what we did before, but there's still a lot of heavy stuff happening, So, but yeah. So let's get into the good stuff here. Let's get into Deja Vu. Talk to me about this album. What was kind of the overarching vision and idea, and how does it feel on a visceral level?
Well, thank you for giving it your attention. I really appreciate it. We've been playing, I've been playing in Austin a long time, and I'm both a jazz singer and a songwriter. And I haven't put out a full-length record since I was in a band with Slim Ritchie called Jitterbug Vipers years ago. He passed away in 2015. And it was a real niche Viper jazz band. And I was steeped in those songs for years until we ended up writing about that record that came out probably like 2013, 2014. As if it was from that Viper era. So it was something where I got to be both a songwriter and a jazz singer. And this album is the first record I'm putting out that I didn't write a single song. And I just wanted to really make the jazz album. And it's very reflective of what we do every Thursday at the Elephant Room and have been doing for a long time. We've all played there for years and years. Mitch played there the first week they opened in 1991, but we've had the weekly show together for 9 years. And so we had the opportunity unexpectedly, without a lot of warning, to go into the studio, and we just did what we do. We've been playing so much together for so long. We didn't have I had a real idea of what our top songs were. But we just caught, I just heard an interview with Pat Metheny, and he said there's like different ways of making records, and one would be more documentary style, and that's what we did. We just, caught what happened in the room, picked a take. The most takes we did were three, and I didn't keep the vocal on everything, but I did actually even keep the vocal on three of the songs that happened in the room with the band. So it's something we were just really ready for, and got super, super, super lucky with who we got to work with and where we got to record it. We were able to use Eric Johnson's recording studio, and his engineer of many years, Kelly Donnelly, recorded and mixed us. And so it's been just this amazing opportunity to be captured the way that we think we sound. We're getting to share with everybody what we intend when we're playing.
So what are you hoping a listener gets from this album?
I hope they feel sincerity. They
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
I mean, everybody's really genuinely present. Nobody's there just like, oh, I got a studio session. You know, our relationships with each other are deep and we would do anything for each other. And we have all been through a lot together. And the way these songs have evolved and our interpretations of them have evolved, absolutely related to the day in and the day out, year after year, of keeping the dream alive in Austin and holding witness to each other's lives and journeys. And these songs are universal, you know, because there's so much of the human condition. So I think people would, you know, hopefully be able to relate to the story we're telling, because it's not just covering a song. It's really, 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 we feel these songs and believe them and believe that there's a reason why they're still relevant. One of them is from 1934.
Wow. So where were you born and raised? Are you originally from Austin?
I'm from Houston, Texas.
Okay.
I grew up there through high school and then went to college at Berklee College of Music in Boston.
Okay. So how did this love of music begin? And was it always going to be music for you?
It's a good question. So I grew up in a family. My mom's side, she was the oldest of eight kids, and everybody played music. And my mom and grandmother were both classical pianists, so I grew up hearing constant, really, really, really complicated practicing of Chopin and Bach and Schubert and Beethoven. And every time the family got together, we would all sing at the end of the gathering. And it wasn't just Christmas or New Year's. It was all the cousins' birthdays and Black Eyed Peas on New Year's, and everybody would end up, you know, with a couple of them playing guitar, everybody sang, and we would just sing and sing, and everybody had their harmonies, and I thought it was the most normal thing in the world. I thought everybody could do it. And when I joined the high school choir as a 14-year-old, it was the first time I was standing near people thinking, wait, why aren't they doing all the notes right? And I really did not know until then that not everyone could sing.
Yeah. So do you remember what the first live show was that you saw that blew you away, that made you think, I want to be up there doing that one day?
Oh, gosh. Those are two different things, probably. Like, okay. The first live show that blew me away was James Taylor when I was 12 years old.
Wow.
I want to be up there doing that. I just liked to sing, and it wasn't probably until I needed to decide where to go to college that I started thinking, no, I want to study music. And so I didn't grow up as this, I'm going to be a singer. But by the time I decided I was going to try to get into Berklee, I did tell everybody, okay, I'm going to be a singer.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm trying to think of what show I would have seen in high school. I mean, I didn't grow up in jazz at all.
Sure. Yeah. And a lot of people don't. They always come to it late.
Mm-hmm. Very late. I mean, when I got to Berklee, I couldn't keep up. I just was learning as fast as I can.
Yeah.
Good.
So let me ask you this. When you did decide, when you went to Berklee, that you were going to pursue this career in music, you have this idea of what it's going to be like to wake up every day being a musician, being in this world of music, and then you actually start living it. What's been the difference between the ideology, the dream of what you thought this was going to be, and then actually living this reality?
Oh, I mean, it's constant adjustment. I'm just, in my early 20s, I was certain I was like steps away from stardom, you know, and it wasn't just about being a star, but of course, I didn't know that how long it would take for the, I mean, to be better at what I'm doing and to genuinely reach people. But I feel like even, you know, for what wherever I am in Austin and who and as established as we are and people who appreciate what we do, I still feel like a real late bloomer. Like this record is hopefully going to help us reach up and reach out. But if I had made a record this good 20, 30 years ago, industry wise, career wise, you know, we might have actually like really made some money, really gone all kinds of places. We're still trying to go a lot of places and sell a lot of records, but I mean, everything's changed with the industry. And now it's just staying true to it because we can't help it. And of course, some of that does pay the bills. And then I mean, I think Mitch is the only member of our band who doesn't supplement it with other whatever it takes jobs, you know?
What do you look forward to the most about being a professional musician? What gets you up every day? Why do you love this?
Well, the part where we make the music and we get to see each other and be in the actual moment that the notes are coming out, that is just, you know, I get to play tonight. I love it. It's the reward. A lot of it's you got to stay true to it. You got to really love it that much. But yeah, the part where we just are in the moment with each other, it's great when lots of people are there. But we have really awesome moments even if we're leaning in and just, you know, listening to each other.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, everyone has a perception of you. Family, friends, fans, everyone on the bandstand, but you run the show. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
As in, like on the stage,
Just
or
in, I guess, just in general, you're the driving force. So everybody sees you in a different light in all these different circles, but ultimately, you're the one projecting the real essence of who you are. So what is your idea of what you think you're putting out into the world?
I am. I just think I'm a companion to the whatever the creative forces that like to come through and play and entertain us all. I love feeling on stage like a conduit, and just when I can be in the flow of it, and it's something really genuine. And that's almost like it's almost like having a Reiki session or something, like good energy, like what comes through and what's happening amongst us and in the crowd, and the exchange of all that is medicine. And then meanwhile, all the rest of the time, I'm a businesswoman, you know. It's a whole lot
Marvel Television's Wonder Man, an eight-episode series, now streaming on Disney Plus.
A superhero remake, not exactly what we'd expect from an Oscar-winning director.
Action! Simon Williams auditioned for Wonder Man.
I'm gonna need you to sign this, assuming you don't have superpowers.
I'll never work again if anyone found out.
My lips are sealed.
Marvel Television's Wonder Man. All eight episodes now streaming, only on Disney Plus.
Getting it all done.
Yeah, I get it. So there's always such a sense of pride with musicians that come from Austin, and it's clearly an epicenter of a whole lot of activity. So at the end of the day, what do you love the best about being in Austin, Texas?
We have the best life here. I mean, we have to constantly adapt. It's not easy to stay. It's not easy to, you know, handle the constant change and growth. But at its core, what's still Austin is, you know, we're in the water, we're in Barton Springs, we're hiking the Greenbelt. We have all these places to walk and hike and My son's a rock climber, and I mean, when I grew up in Houston, I never saw any elevation at all. And we live on the park, and I feed my birds, and there's so many species, and I hear them, and I'll be like, "Oh, he's back!" Like, remember there are times a year that I'll hear them. And the community, the musicians are so supportive of each other. It's very genuine. It's not competitive. Everybody lifts each other up, goes to each other's shows, helps somebody if they're sick. It's chosen family with that. And it's such a creative, groovy place. The deep old true roots are alive and well, and everybody's just learning how to, get along with a lot more people here.
Yeah, for sure. So if anybody wants to get a copy of the new album, Catch You Live, anything else going on in your world, where's the best place to go?
I would go to my website, or my Instagram is probably the best, Sarah Sharp ATX. But as the album comes out May 15th, and there are two singles already out, and the information is constantly updated. I'm also on, we can get to my website from there too.
Okay, I will put these links in the show notes. Sarah, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for
It's
taking a
so
minute out
nice to
today.
meet you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds and songwriters in Austin, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Sarah for her time and swinging on by the show. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.
You can't reason with the sun. Trust us, we've tried. This summer, it's time to put that angry ball of fire on mute. Columbia's OmniShade technology is engineered to protect you from the sun's harsh rays that can burn and damage your skin. The sun is relentless, but so is our gear. Level up your summer at Columbia.com to spend more time outside and less time slathering on aloe lotion. You're welcome. Columbia, engineered for whatever.